You are listening to This Is Through the Stage Door with the Majestic Theater on WNH 95.3. We're a bi-weekly program that celebrates what's happening on stage at the Majestic Theater, as well as the musical sounds coming from the Ted Herbert Music School. For more information about the Majestic Theater or the Ted Herbert Music School, you can give us a call at 669-7469 or visit us on the web at majestictheater.net or tedherbert.com. My name is Robert Dion. I'm the Artistic Director of Majestic and the Administrator of Ted Herbert's. And with me today, I have guests from the upcoming cast of Love Sick. Welcome to Karen.
Hello.
And Nathaniel.
Hello.
And Tracy.
Hi, everyone.
Who doesn't have head host, who didn't hear any of that great music. So I hope you liked our opening credits. Thank you to Peter White for giving us a feed here in the upper studio, the upstairs studio, to be able to play some music and stuff. But thanks for coming in today, guys. These are only three of the 11 cast members. We were going to have all 11 cast members in. We didn't think there might not be room. So we had three. I'm not going to say three of the best because I don't want to, like, you know, offend anybody, you know. And I'm going to apologize already for Nathaniel because my head's literally right in the row of your head. So if you want to do this at any point, you'll be able to see on Facebook Live. But Love Sick is actually, it's a great show. There's 11 actors in this show in 9 different scenes and situations. Love Sick, for those of you who may not have gone to our website, is playing February 14th through the 23rd. Friday and Saturday, February 14, 15, 21, 22 at 7 p.m. And Sunday, February 23rd at 2 p.m. And that's happening at the Majestic Studio Theater. Oh, and I never said welcome to Tracy. Did I say welcome to Tracy?
You did.
Oh, okay.
It's great to be here.
Oh, goodness. Sorry, Tracy.
No worries.
I got sidetracked. That's what happens when you're not a professional. That's what happens. You're a professional, though. And we'll talk about what you do in just a second. But the show happens at the Majestic Studio Theater, 880 Page Street in Manchester. If you haven't been by our studio theaters between Hanover Street and Candia Road, and definitely check it out, Small Intimate Theater. We're running this show for 2 weekends because it's so great that we'll know we'll need the seats. But I always try to start with talking a little bit about the people that do our shows because, you know, it's great to have good shows, but we're more important. We want to make sure we highlight the people that are in our shows. So, Tracy, because I almost slighted you there, but I feel kind of bad. Mm-hmm. You look kind of familiar. Did you have someone who was on the radio show before? Your daughter. That's right. His daughter Emerson was in Fiddler on the Roof. She was featured this last time. She did such a great job. We said, I'm going to let her dad come
there
on.
There you
too.
Go.
Yeah. Tracy, tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and what you do in the show.
Sure. So my name is Tracy Carracedo. I play in 2 scenes in Love Sick. I'm in Singing Telegram and Destiny, which is a little bit of a heavier final scene in the show. And I'm a relative newcomer to theater. I broke in late, like many people who get into acting late. I was inspired by my kids. I was volunteering backstage one day and was so inspired by what was happening. I said, let me give this a try. And I did a production of Fiddler on the Roof back in 2016. And since then, I've done 7 shows. I think this is my 8th one, 3rd with the Majestic. Musicals, non-musicals, you name it. So, you know, I enjoy doing theater. I enjoy the work and intensity that goes into it. And a show like Love Sick, I think audiences are really going to like. You know, I like the joy and the pain that comes with each of these different scenes. And like our playwright says, it's the unromantic comedy for all the romantics in us. So I really look forward to bringing this to stage.
Wow, and you just said everything on my list. Well, have a great day, guys.
Didn't mean to skate in your lane.
No, that's okay. Tell a little bit about what you do in real life.
Yeah,
well.
So I work in the Boston media scene. I work for WCVB, the powerhouse ABC affiliate in Boston, which makes for a long commute when you do community theater in southern New Hampshire, but I figured out a way to make it work. And I've pretty much been in media all my life. I know before we signed on here, I was talking about my radio days in Miami, Florida in 1993 when I was right out of college and I'd have to report to work at 3 in the morning to roll tape. That's back when we had tape.
Nathaniel, how old were you in 1993?
I wasn't born
okay,
yet.
Okay, yeah, see, I'm just only saying that because we had this conversation last night at rehearsal. 1993, and how long did you, so when did you move to this area? Did you move for the job, or what brought you to New Hampshire, Boston area?
I met my wife at the University of Miami, and she was from Haverhill, Mass., and during a moment of weakness, I said, one-bedroom apartment on South Beach or a one-acre lot in Windham, New Hampshire? We chose the latter of the two, and that was in 2000, and the rest, as they say, is history, but I'm really excited and honored to be living in this community.
And you know, I'm sure it's much, much colder here than it was in Miami.
Just a bit.
Yeah. Nathaniel, who was born in 1999, we all laughed at that last night, and he was relishing on the fact, I was born in 19, like, and the rest of us were like, we really don't want to hear that. But tell us a little bit about you, what you've been doing since 1999, and what you're doing in the show.
Well, since 1999, I've been learning to walk and talk like everyone else.
Wow, such talent.
I'm only 20 years old. Just actually moved to the Manchester area from Boston. Trying to break in as a professional actor, so I wanted to go and do more outside theater. I've been doing a lot of school shows, mostly musicals and plays, so it's really nice to be welcomed like open-heartedly into the Majestic Theater. This is my first performance, and I really hope everyone's going to like it. I am in two scenes. I am in Obsessive Impulsive and The Answer. And both I am very excited to play in because I've never played any characters like these before. There's just such great dynamics and between the two, and I really look forward to showing everyone exactly who they are as people.
Very good. Karen, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do in the show, and what you do in real life.
All righty. Well, what I do in real life is publishing. I'm a managing editor, and that's what brought me to New England. I'm actually from Tucson most recently. And
all these people from warm places.
I know.
Oh, why are you coming
except
here?
You. You're not from warm.
No.
Yeah, he's cold-blooded, but Tracy and I. No,
she means that in the nicest way, Nathaniel.
Just nicest possible way. Yeah. My husband and my daughter and I love it here, though. We really have been, you know, we heard that New Englanders were kind of cold and standoffish, but that hasn't been our experience at all. And in particular, I've been very happy about it. It was about a year ago that I started looking into different theaters in the New Hampshire area. And I happened on the Majestic through the recommendation of a friend from the Tucson Theater.
Jasmine Roth, who actually left us. We were very sad when Jasmine left us. She directed some of our youth programs.
Yes.
And she went and moved to all the way to Arizona.
Yes. And she and I were in a production of the Incredible Crichton or the Admirable Crichton.
Okay.
Yes, J.M. Barrie. And she was wonderful, and she's a wonderful person. I just loved her to pieces. And as I was looking at the Facebook page for the New England or the New Hampshire Theater Association, I noticed that she was a member. And so I messaged her and said, what the heck are you doing in the New Hampshire Theater Association? And she said, well, I'm from Manchester. And I went, oh, my God. Okay,
guess
girl,
what?
Give me the straight poop. Yeah, tell me where to go and who to talk to. And she said, I know you and I know the Majestic and I know you'd love it at the Majestic. And she was right. So I've done in the last year,
How many?
Gosh, I did The Man Who Came to Dinner, Jekyll and Hyde.
Elf.
I did costumes for Judy's Scary Little Christmas. I did our Midsummer Night Cemetery tour.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes. And just so you folks know, those of you who did go to that, the partnership that Majestic did with the Historic Association last August, I believe.
Yes.
At the, which cemetery was that? Pine Grove Cemetery.
Pine Grove.
We did that. We acted out the people. We're doing that again this year, folks. We're actually talking about planning it right now.
Nice.
With John and Liz at John at MHA, and we're going to do that again. So
you're
going to have another
wonderful
chance, and we're doing a different cemetery this time too.
Oh, that's great! That was such a neat event.
It really was.
It was beautiful.
What do you do in this show?
In this show, I am playing two different characters. I'm playing a woman named Sarah who knows what she wants and is pretty strong and a little bit twisted in the way she goes about getting what she wants.
Mm-hmm. No spoilers.
And Abby, who's a very different character, much more vulnerable, I think, and more confused and less sure of what she wants. So I love this play. I love all the different little vignettes, and especially because although I love love, it can be a little saccharine or a little too sweet sometimes for me. So the twisted sickness part of these scenes, it make it a lot of fun and really suit me.
You know, on this show, you know, we talk about where people are from. Well, you know, John Cariani is actually from Maine. And let me tell you a little bit about the writer of this show, because you might have heard of John Cariani's other show. He's actually written four shows. Lovesick is his fourth play. You might have heard of Almost Maine, and that's a show that we did a couple seasons ago. In fact, that was the first show we did in the Majestic Studio Theater. We had just moved in. It was one of the very first theater shows we did there. And John Cariani, let me tell you a little bit, because I read his bio and I was like, wow, I didn't know that he did as much as he did. He's an American actor, playwright. He's best known as the unwavering forensic expert Julian Beck in Law and Order. Now I want to go back in Law and Order and look up this character because I used to watch that all the time. He earned a Tony Award nomination for his role as Mottl, the tailor, in the 2004 Broadway revival of Fiddler on the Roof. As a playwright, he's best known for his play, Almost Maine, which has become one of the most frequently produced plays in the United States. Wow. He starred on Broadway in the Tony Award-winning musical Something Rotten, which just became available for theaters to do in this area, as Nigel Bottom, and he starred in the Tony Award-winning Broadway musical The Band's Visit. Wow, so here's a guy who's written four plays and also done all these Broadway credits, and he's from Presque Isle, Maine. Pretty cool. Yeah. Anybody can go anywhere, and I bet you it's not maybe not as warm in New York as in as like Arizona or Miami, but it's definitely warmer than Presque Isle. Because I always say Presque Isle is one of those towns you go to northern Maine until you can't anymore, and then you drive another 200 miles. It's insane. But yeah, so we're from all over the place. So let's talk. Who wants to tell us a little bit about? Maybe their scene in the show. Pick a scene. I know.
No spoilers.
Yes, no spoilers. So this show has 11 actors and 9 scenes, and all this and the writing is so good. The scenes, all 9, are different, mm-hmm. and other people in the cast. Before I forget, I'll make sure I shout out to these other people. Other cast members include Amy Baker, Michaela Healy, Daniel Shays, Jackie Marcoux, Karen, who's here, Tracy, who's here, Nathaniel, who's here, Wilson Belbin, Kirsten Koch, and Emily Marsh, and James Haupt. And these are people that some of which have done Majestic shows, some of which haven't done Majestic shows. And it was kind of funny as we're coming up the elevator, you guys have been rehearsing on different days.
Right.
And so you're like, oh, I met you at the read-through, and I kind of know you, but hey, how are you, Tuesday people? And they're, hello, Sunday people. So I'm really excited this next week as we go into Tech Week to bring everyone together and share these scenes with each other and the cool stuff. So that said, so obviously we have, how many scenes? We have 6 scenes represented out of the 9.
Yes.
Because you're each in 2 scenes. Mm. So who wants to talk about one of the scenes that they're in and maybe some moments from that scene without giving a spoiler?
Not it. I want. I want to see an example so I can follow.
Okay, Tracy, go ahead.
So I'm in 2 scenes. I will, without spoiling them, Rob. I'll name the scenes. Scene Telegram is a interesting, whimsical little slice of life about relationships, expectations, and basically a roller coaster ride of emotion.
Wow, that's quite the description, Tracy.
I can't really say much more because I might give it away.
Well, you come to singing Telegram to somebody, and let's just say it turns out.
It turns out not the way she expects.
Exactly, not the way she expected.
And
so.
It's probably one of the funnier stories in the. In the production, but at the same time, again, it's a little bit of a curveball out of left field, let's just say.
And you get to sing in that. This is not a musical, but you get to sing.
Which,
in that
you know,
one.
given my singing talents, only makes sense.
Honestly, though, you actually, I heard you do the song last night, and I was impressed. I'm like, no, you got this. You got this.
Right.
You totally have this. I know when you read it, you went, you're letting me sing. I'm like, yes, I can do this.
I got that casting call from you saying you're going to be singing in a non-musical, I said, you sure you want me to do this? But it's been a lot of fun, and I think the audiences are really going to enjoy singing Telegram. Then the other scene, conversely, which is the final situation, it's called Destiny, which I think is a very apt name considering where the story goes. I want to say it's one of the heavier scenes because it's a little bit of an amalgamation of a lot of the other scenes throughout the evening.
Yep.
And it's like a, for lack of a better term, a paella of different virtues from throughout the night, all mixed into one big meal that the audience will be served at the end.
And we have to also tell, this is not a dinner theater, though.
Right.
Because we have a dinner theater. Yes, if you're listening to this program in the next couple of days when it gets posted, if you're listening to this Sunday at noon, well, guess what? You've already missed it. But this weekend we have Things My Mother Taught Me at the Executive Court. Advance tickets are required for that because it's a dinner theater, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go to the website for tickets or give us a call. And you have to get them in advance. And I have to tell you, the show is selling one of the best dinner theaters we've ever done. So no pressure to the Love Sick cast. Did I give you guys cards yet?
Yes. Twice over.
Cards?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes.
That's been the joke, too. I keep giving them cards. But I give you cookies with them and stuff like that. So check out Things My Mother Taught Me. If dinner theater is your thing, there are 2 other dinner theaters as well. I'll give you those dates at the end of the program. But this is not a dinner theater. This is at the studio
Eat
theater.
Eat dinner before the show.
Eat
yes,
dinner before.
Yes,
we are not going to feed you.
That's right.
So the other scene, the last scene.
Yeah, so Destiny, it's, I will say it's about 2 people that reunite in the most unusual places, and they rehash and relive some of their highs and lows, and they do some soul searching, and again, there's joy and there's pain and there's reminiscing, and it really, you know, it's a very unpredictable type of predictable romantic scene that I'm very proud to be a part of, and it's been a challenge to put on, but I know the audiences will enjoy it, and the Jackie, Mark, who, and myself are in that scene, and we're really enjoying trying to explore destiny. The final
and
that
is one of the hardest scenes. It is most definitely. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Karen, what about your scenes? Is there anything you can tell us about one of your scenes?
Oh, I'd love to tell you about my scenes. The first one is called Uh-oh. And I have to tell you, I think it's the funniest little one act in the whole thing. It's so fun. I play a woman who's been married for a couple of years to her husband, and they have different perspectives on how things are going.
Mm-hmm. And your partner in is Daniel Shays, who's done a lot of Majestic shows over the years.
Yes, I danced with him in Jekyll and Hyde, and we were in Elf together as well, so I know Daniel well, and so it was really fun to fall into the roles together and to work out the dynamic of our having different perspectives on where our relationship is. And I love the character I play named Sarah. She's very sweet, but she's also very clever. And she knows exactly what she wants, and she has clever little plans about how to get it. And it's just a really fun role to play. And I think Daniel and I have a lot of fun playing off each other in that scene.
Very cool.
So it's good. It'll make you laugh.
These scenes, I mean, the thing is too, is that I was thinking, okay, I have to write director's notes for the program in the next week.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, what do I want to say in the program? And the thing that I keep coming back to is that, you know, these situations in this show, if you've ever been in love or almost in love, you've been through a lot of these, maybe mm-hmm. not the one you just described,
right.
But you know what I mean? But you can relate to these. So it's the type of thing where it shows you that love isn't perfect.
Right.
You know, real people have real issues, and they work through them. And then through this show, they work through in humor.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes. You know, so I was thinking, you know, as we were starting, I'm thinking, geez, we put this for Valentine's time. Is this like the not time? The more we got into it, the more I laughed at the rehearsals, I went, no, this is perfect. Because, you know, it's like, you know, when people get to, when couples do dinner parties, it's great because I know when I was with somebody, it made you see, oh, look, they have little issues too. It's mm-hmm. not just us. Mm-hmm. It makes it more real.
Right.
Exactly. So, you know, so that's really cool. So your other scene is a lot different than that.
Yes. My other scene is called Where Was I? And I play a woman who's basically confused about who she is and what's going on and the state of her relationship with her wife. And it's just there's a lot of a different dynamic and in that scene. And it's, though there are a few funny moments, it's much more serious mm-hmm. altogether. And even a bit awkward, which I think is really, really nice. It's also, interestingly, the last scene right before Tracy's scene, Destiny, so which kind of answers a lot of that question. So it kind of leads up to this place of uncertainty. And then a lot of questions are answered, and a lot of things are tied together through Tracy's last scene. So it's interesting to play women who are so different,
mm-hmm.
two different characters who are so very different and in different stages of a relationship. So.
Very cool. A darker cousin to Almost Maine, John Cariani's Lovesick is a collection of 9 slightly twisted and completely mm-hmm. hilarious short plays. Set on a Friday night in an alternate suburban reality, this explores the pain and the joy that comes with being in love. Full of imperfect lovers and dreamers, Lovesick is an unromantic comedy for the romantic and everyone. Today we're talking with cast members, a few of the cast members from that production of Lovesick, happening at the Majestic Theater at the Studio Theater on Page Street, February 14th through the 23rd. Get tickets at 669-7469. You can buy them online at majestictheater.net. Call if you can so you don't have to pay a fee. Because we don't get that fee,
exactly.
So just call us.
Yeah.
Tickets are only $12 for children 17 and under, and for seniors 65 plus, and only $15 for adults. This is not a dinner theater production, so eat before you come, but we'll give you plenty of hearty laughter when you get there. So, Nathaniel, tell us a little bit about your scenes.
Ooh. Ooh. What to say, though?
Maybe we can talk a little bit about the physicality, because the scene, you're in the opening scene, and one of the disclaimers that the writer puts in the script is three things. One, are you do you have an issue playing same-sex couples on stage? Because mm-hmm. there are two same-sex couples. And those are great because it shows that the same-sex couples have the same issues the rest of us have.
Exactly.
Or the rest of you guys have, I should say. and then it said, have to be comfortable in your underwear in one scene, but we're not really going too much on that one, so that was an easy one. And then the third one was intimacy on stage, because there's a couple, and Tracy, you've got one, and Nathaniel, you've got one. So
yes, I definitely have one.
And yours is much more amplified than Tracy's. But tell us a little bit about that process, getting there. I have to say, Heather Armhold is assisting me on this show. I'm directing, and Heather is assisting me, and she is doing a phenomenal job helping on everything possible that I need. And as you know, I juggle 7,000 things at once, and she's really made this possible. And she's worked with you guys on those scenes.
Yeah,
so
she definitely
got to give her a shout out to that.
She's
phenomenal. Couldn't have done
it
without her.
Thank you so much. Great job.
Tell us a little bit about that process of how you guys got there.
So the physicality he is referring to is the first scene, obsessive impulsive. Coming from someone who's never had intimacy training as an actor, this is a very new area for me to step into. But we all know that acting is stepping out of your comfort zone and going to engage new things. So
indeed,
I was happy to do it.
And I have to say, both of you were 200% open to exploring this, to do it the way it was. Because this scene made me nervous.
Exactly.
And and I had Heather, who was like, I got this. And you guys were like, yeah, we're willing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other thing is the fact that you guys don't have significant others that are jealous and crazy. That also helps, too.
Yes.
That helps, too.
That's definitely.
Because that was a question I asked at the very beginning as well. So the process of getting there.
It's definitely something that it's a journey that you can't do by yourself. I definitely would say that you do need your scene partner to do this journey. Just because, like you said, it's a give and take. We also don't want to step on any toes of anyone else in the audience. Getting there was a lot of, okay, is this good? Is this good? We're gonna try this. I want to try this. Just because obsessive, impulsive, I never really knew what that was until I engaged more. And it's very interesting just to see two people who've been going through their whole entire life apologizing for what they feel. And now they get to see like they're not alone in this, and they want to chase after this. So it's very almost relatable to see how these two characters interact with one another, knowing that they are no longer alone, that they have found someone that's going through the same struggles as they are. And I definitely can think that when everyone comes and they see the opening act, then they'll be able to relate to these characters and realize that as a whole, yes, it is like a bubbling, clumsy mess of just apologies, but the apologies themselves have real purpose behind them. I really like the first scene, and my other scene, which is The Answer, is very, very different. Just because I've never, like I said, the dynamics between these two characters is crazy.
Those of you who each have two scenes. You have different scene partners in each one,
right,
too.
Yes.
So the first scene, you're with Michaela Healy in Obsessive Compulsive. And the second scene, you are with Kirsten Koch. And Tracy, you said you were with Jackie Marcoux in the final scene.
Amy Baker.
And then Amy Baker in the first scene. I want to make sure you give them a shout out. And you're with Emily Marsh.
Emily Marsh.
Where was I? I almost said, what am I? and with Daniel Shays, as we said. So,
wow, we touch everyone, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, we haven't Wilson Belbin and James Hupp that we haven't. So, but one thing you said that I want to make sure I point out too is that intimacy and love is a very personal thing for people, and I don't want people to not come to this show thinking that wow, there's going to be some intimacy. Am I going to be uncomfortable? I always joke with the kids, especially when I'm directing one of their shows, saying, how old is the average age community theater audience? 102.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, the way you guys are doing that opening scene is so tasteful. It's not so over the top that you're going to want to look in your program because it's uncomfortable.
Right.
And I think that's telling as well, because you're getting the message across of what these characters are going through. But at the same time, doing it in a way that's respectable to a general audience that's going to come and see the show. So what about, your second scene with Kirsten?
Yes, The Answer. Two people that are about to engage in this lifelong journey together, but both have their own opinions going into it. I don't really want to give anything away
because that's totally fine.
It's really fun doing it. I like exploring this character named Keith. He's very, I wouldn't say, he's definitely an overthinker. Sorry, I will say that. He is definitely an overthinker when it comes to his life and like how everything's going to be in the future. But having Kirsten there with me, it's really amazing for us to play off each other and to really bring these characters to life. And
I think it's important to say that Keith is in the bathroom with the door shut.
Yes.
Kirsten's the one at the door.
She is the one outside the door. Yes.
So that should tell you a little bit about the dynamic. Oh, and it's your wedding day.
Exactly.
So I'm just going to, I mean, that alone is like, wow.
Yeah. Anyone can relate to
that. Yeah, anybody can. Well, no, not all of us. Sometimes playwright John Cariani looks at the world, actually the worlds of love and relationships, through rose-colored glasses. Just as often, he views those worlds through lenses tinted in middling to dark gray or maybe a jaundiced yellow, while poking fun at the happily ever after notion by means of a strong dose of happily never after. Cariani shoots his cockeyed valentines with a quiver full of funny lines. He knows how to keep audiences laughing while passing along disappointing news. That's what the Huffington Post says. I thought that was a great review of this play.
Yeah.
So entertaining and fun, a satisfying dark look at the thing we call love, said Broadway World. Oh, So in doing this, so let's talk real quick about, like, as you're each playing two characters, and one of the challenges I gave to the cast at the beginning was the two characters that you're playing have to be so different that people aren't going, oh, that's just Karen, and she's so they don't get confused of like, well, wait, she was with that other person last time, now she's with this person.
Right.
So can anyone talk about your process, or maybe even the differences of your characters that you're put together for the two scenes that you're in? Mm-hmm. Anyone?
I'll talk about it. I felt at the first couple of read-throughs, I was reading both ladies the same way. And so I tried to look at what the differences were. And as I came to discover, Abby is much more vulnerable and soft and not as strong. And so I'm using that as kind of a core to both my body language as well as how I read the lines. You know, Sarah is stronger, more confident, and... not that she's 100%, she second guesses herself, especially at the beginning of the play, but you can see that there's an inner core of strength to her. And I don't think Abby has that. I think Abby has much more of an external focus of where she's looking for affirmation from her wife instead of from herself and what she knows in and of herself. She's looking outside for some confirmation and relying on that. So she doesn't have that inner core of strength that Sarah does. So that's the difference I'm trying to pull between the two different ladies.
And it's hard because each scene, I mean, we say there's 9 scenes. We don't want people to think each scene's 45 minutes by any means. Each scene's about 10 minutes. Yeah, it's a very short. Yeah. The total runtime of the show is 80 minutes plus intermission. So these scenes are also very short, too. So you have a short amount of time to create this character and kind of get it, you know, like you said, different than what you did before. Lovesick brings to light the complexity of communication and what it means to not only love someone else, but yourself as well. Truly beautiful, from thesource.com. Anyone else on that same question?
Well, I'll say I'm pretty lucky in that. I think my first scene, Singing Telegram, might be the only scene where I am not romantically linked with my co-star in that scene.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah. Which
that is totally true.
And I don't think I spoiled anything by revealing that.
That's a good observation.
So as a result, I think it allows me to have great flexibility in not having to overlap my characters at all, because basically I'm an indentured hired hand in that first
from the
scene.
Super Center.
Right. Yes. A lot of Super Center in this show. I will say that. But whereas conversely in Destiny, obviously, it's you're going to pull back the curtain on a relationship that's been around for a long time and learn about a lot of the emotional baggage that came with that. So I've been very lucky in that. I don't think I've been overlapping my characters. But I could see where it might be an issue with some of my other co-stars.
Yeah, definitely. Just because it's a lot of, for me personally, my characters, Keith and the man. It's very...
that's the other thing I think is interesting in this play is that some characters have a name and others have... And I think that, you know, when I look at that, I go, okay, because Keith and...
The man.
The man. The man is like really this everyman character that just happens to meet this stranger in the first scene. And she's called the woman. Whereas your other characters have more of a connection. What is your name of your character? You're a singing telegram man. Kind of shows that you really don't have an identity other than that's what you do.
That's right.
And what's your other character?
Jake is my name in Destiny. Yep.
And you, we won't. There's a reason why you have a name in that.
Yes.
We won't get into it.
Indeed.
And your two are very real, relationshiped people.
Sarah in a relationship with Bill, and Abby, who's in a relationship with Liz.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So your two characters, were saying.
So very, very different.
Very, very different. So what are some things that you've done as a young actor to kind of try and make them different? Because you're succeeding. You're definitely succeeding.
Yes, thank you.
So maybe it just came naturally or whatever. And I have to say, you're also in King of the Moon, which is our next show, playing yet another different character with the whole cast. And we'll have those people in on the next program. We'll have the King of the Moon people. So it might be you again. You never know.
I'd love to talk about that.
But yeah, so and that's another play, and we'll talk more about that in the credits. But your characters, anything to add about?
Definitely the process of going into it. Like any actor does, I'm just going to read through. I think the more that I read through, I kept doing it in the same voice. I kept seeing them as like, they're both worried. They both have these problems that everyone else has. But really, they're super different in every way. Physicality-wise, for Keith, I would say, it's the way I get it is it's just a young man on his wedding day. Mm-hmm. And as any man should, you have your worries. And his, unfortunately, are coming out on the day.
A little late, maybe.
Yeah, a little late to be talking about these very serious issues. But him, as a person, he's very passionate about his beliefs. So when he confides in his wife, his soon-to-be wife, it is very real. And I looked for those moments that I could make that known to the audience. So it's not just like da-da-da-da-da, but you can actually feel why he is trying to get this passed through her, why he's trying to make her understand why this is coming up. And for the man, it was very, very, very different process, very different process.
Yeah.
I would have to say for the man, I just really had to think about what would it be like if I went through my entire life apologizing to people for things that I had no control over? And definitely brought to life that I really feel bad. I really feel bad that that happened.
Yep.
And I really look forward to showing people that it's not just the man, but he also has emotions behind him. And so does Keith. And just really excited about this show altogether. I really love it.
And I will say there will be a couple moments within that your heart will go in your stomach.
Yeah.
And they still are. And there's a couple moments that, your scene last night, Tracy, singing Telegram, it was one moment I was like, ooh, it just makes you go, oh, it just makes you really think. But then, but there's so many other laughter things of it. It's definitely, I saw this show, show was done at the Hatbox a year or two ago. I knew a lot of people and I adjudicated for New Hampshire Theater Awards. And that's where I heard about the show. We had just done Almost Maine, and I was like, we got to do this show. It's such a good show. So Lovesick by John Cariani is his fourth and most recent play. It premiered at High Point University in the fall of 2010. It was then presented at the Portland, Maine Stage Company in the spring of 2013 and produced by Hartford Theater Works in 2014. The play later ran off-Broadway in February of 2015 at the Royal Family Performing Arts Space. And it's called, the Hartford Courant called it a dark, amusing look at romance, strikes just the right balance between wisdom and whimsy, light, bright, anti-romantic, but engaging. And we are talking with actors today from the Majestic production of Lovesick, happening February 14th through the 23rd at the Majestic Studio Theater, 880 Page Street, Manchester. Tickets at majestictheater.net or 669-7469. I always try to have some like little surprises, and we don't script any of this, just so you know. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I have a little trivia for you.
Oh no!
Oh,
Tracy can't hear the scary music. It's Tracy is scary.
Judging by the look on your guys' faces, I can tell.
So you guys are nervous, I bet, huh? All right. So this is the Valentine trivia quiz.
Okay.
All right, you think you guys can do it? All right.
Hopefully,
I'm
yes.
not gonna make you raise your hands or anything, okay, because this isn't grade school, but. So if you know it, just yell it out. How's that? We'll try
That's
that.
Good.
It's a multiple choice. In Victorian times, was it considered what kind of luck to sign a Valentine's Day card? Was it good luck or bad luck?
I'm going to say bad luck.
Yeah. Bad luck.
Bad luck would be correct. Yay. Karen gets 1 point if we were counting points, which we're not. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Group
no, what percentage of women in the United States send themselves flowers on Valentine's Day? Is it 10%, 15%, 30%, or 45%?
It's got to be high.
I want to say 30.
Say 30? You, yeah, Tracy, what do you think?
I want to go high. I'll go 45%.
I'm going to say 10.
So you're all three of you are wrong. 15%.
But I was closest.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Okay, Cupid often appears on Valentine's Day cards holding a blank because he is believed to use these items to inspire feelings of love.
Bow and arrow.
Oh, you guys are all great on that one. All right. During the Middle Ages, it was believed this animal chose their mates on Valentine's Day. Was it wolves, angelfish, lobsters, or turtle doves?
Let's say turtle doves. They're the most romantic.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Turtle doves is correct.
Yeah. All right. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
What percent of Valentine's Day cards are romantic as compared to humorous? Is it 90%, 50%, 30%, or 75%?
I'll say 75.
Can I hit the mid-ground between, 62.5 between 75 and 50?
Karen, it's multiple choice. 75% is the correct answer.
Yay.
All right. A couple more. Wearing a wedding ring on the fourth finger of the left hand dates back to ancient Egypt, where it was believed that the vein of love ran... the vein of love ran from this finger directly to the...
Heart.
Heart is correct. That was an easy one.
Yeah.
Right. I remember that from middle school. Wow.
Really?
I actually remembered something.
Wow. Hey. I didn't know that. Which one of the following countries do not celebrate Veterans Day? Wow. There's like a whole list here.
Veterans Day or Valentine's Day?
I'm sorry. Valentine's Day. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, That's an easy one. Which one of the following countries do not celebrate Valentine's Day? Is it the U.S., Canada, Italy, Mexico, France, Australia, or the UK?
I want to say Australia, but I'm
going to guess Canada just because I think it's
trick question. That's the thing, too. I didn't know there's going to be a whole list.
Yeah, there's a whole list.
I'm just going to say France because it's the one you wouldn't expect.
All right, Tracy, do you have one? What'd you say?
Canada.
All right. It is Italy.
Oh.
Which I thought was interesting. Italy does not. You'd think that those Italians would be like all romantic. Ooh la la.
No.
So pretty good. You guys are pretty romantic, I guess, after all. Even though you're in the unromantic comedy Love Sick at the Majestic happening. See how I did that?
That was good.
Happening February 14th, opening on Valentine's Day. Bring your sweetheart. It's still definitely a great couple show. It's a great single show. I like to refer to Valentine's Day as Single Awareness Day. and definitely join us. Tickets are cheap. You can get them online or give us a call. Playing 14th and 15th at 7 p.m. Friday, Saturday. Again, February 21st, 22nd at 7 p.m. And one matinee on Sunday the 23rd at 2 p.m. So thanks for coming in today, guys. This has been a lot of fun. You guys are really, you can tell you're really passionate about this show, which not only as a radio host is great and as artistic director is even better. And as director of the show is amazing.
Yay.
So thank you for that. I, too, am looking forward to this show just kind of happening because I think that audiences are going to really, really enjoy it. And I think that when we hit this next week and we're running the show every night and you guys are able to see, because you guys haven't really seen other than maybe a few pieces. And the Tuesday people have not seen the Sunday scenes and vice versa. I'm really excited to have you guys share that with each other because I really think that you'll be able to do some great things and just be really awesome. So definitely join us. By all means, we thank you for listening today. Remember that we do this program every other week. It plays on Sundays at noon on WMNH 95.3 if you're in the Manchester area. If you're not in the Manchester area, you can listen to us on WMNHradio.org. Like my music? Pretty good. It's like a 70s game show, huh? Tracy, it's good. Tracy can't hear it. It's good, yeah. By all means, we hope that we'll see you soon at the Majestic Theater, either in the audience or on stage. Don't forget about the Ted Herbert Music School and lessons happening for ages 7 through 86. We would love to have you. Upcoming performances include Lovesick, February 14th through the 23rd at the Studio Theater. King of the Moon for dinner theater performances, March 6th through the 8th at the Executive Court, advance reservations required. Disney's Little Mermaid Jr., happening March 20th through the 22nd at the Derry Opera House. That's our youth and our teens. Love, Sex, and the IRS rounds out our dinner theater series, April 3rd through the 5th, advance reservations for Executive Court. And Steel Magnolias, happening in April, the Studio Theater again. There's many, many more shows. Call us for our brochure. We'll send it to you. As always, we thank you for listening. Remember, music is the voice of the soul, and the world is a stage. We'll see you next time. You are listening to WMNH 95.3.